What's the best tobacco you ever smoked, Jim?
Oh, that's easy. Kentucky Club. And here comes Vox Pop with Parks Johnson and Wally Butterworth broadcasting from...
Quiet. The location must remain a secret. Because around us here are some of the world's greatest private detectives.
Vox Pop, you know, is dedicated to the grand and glorious order of pipe smokers. It comes to you every Thursday in honor of Kentucky Club Pipe Tobacco, the smoother smoking, all-white burley blend, and Julep Cigarette, the new exciting cigarette that's frosted to give your throat a thrill. Tonight, you know, we're broadcasting from an official conclave of the William J. Burns International Detective Agency, the world's greatest association of private investigators. The greatest mystery stories of all, the true mystery stories, are the everyday work of these hawk-eyed super sleuths who are surrounding us right now. Their information sources cover the earth, India, Asia, Europe, Africa, South America, everywhere. Look out, there may be one behind you right now. Well, Parks and Wally have their peak caps and their magnifying glasses ready to vox pop the detective. Okay, Sherlock Johnson.
Roland, don't you think we ought to investigate the president of the outfit first? Come up here, sir. Mr. Raymond Burns, president of Burns. Mr. Burns, we're going to find out a lot of stuff, we hope, tonight from you folks.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
But before we go any farther, you get the first crack at our running question, which pays $5 to the fellow that gets nearest to it, plus a carton of Julep cigarettes. Now, the running question tonight is this. What is the current yearly per capita consumption of cigarettes in the United States? That is, dividing the total number of cigarettes among the total population, what is the per capita consumption of cigarettes? Now, that's as fair for one of you as the other. Give us a figure on that.
That's a tough one.
It is tough.
50 billion, off
that. No, per capita, I said. Not the whole. Now, if it was 50 billion cigarettes and there's 130 million people, you divide it, you know, you can figure, can't you? Give me some figure that's within reason.
Well, I'll have to take that under advisement.
Well, I'll ask you before the end of the interview.
All right.
Give me a little figure a little bit later.
Yes.
Sherlock, Mr. Burns, I mean, would you say that crime pays?
Certainly does not.
Doesn't it pay, Burns?
It certainly does.
That's all right. Now, yours is an interesting sort of profession. For $1, in what profession does it pay to look down in the mouth? You know, was later knighted.
What pirate was later knighted?
That's right, for a dollar.
See, I think that was Sir Henry Morgan.
For a dollar. Yeah, you are, sir. Boss is doing all right around here, folks. Your father, William J. Burns, founded this agency.
He did.
That was, 30 years
back in 1909.
Way back there. Now, what would you say is the biggest department in your agency, Mr.
Well, I'd say the general investigating department is about the largest department in our agency.
Investigating what? Everything?
Well, everything. All crime.
Well,
crime.
The criminal, that takes in the criminal department.
That's it.
What is the necessary and essential qualifications, let's say, of a successful investigator? I know
Mr. Johnson, I'd say a pleasing personality and appearance.
Well, that's
more than the average amount of imagination.
Uh-huh.
Wide knowledge of human nature. Versed in logic and deduction.
Yeah.
Education sufficient to prepare a comprehensive report.
Boy,
ability to grasp essential details in conducting an investigation. Quick at perception. Ability to describe accurately. And resourcefulness.
I don't think I'd ever be a good private detective. Does it have to be honest? You didn't read that in there. That's obvious.
Oh, absolutely.
That was obvious. It didn't have to be. You doing any sabotage work or fifth column business right now?
Yes, yeah, considerable.
That really has picked up quite a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Especially in the last few months.
Did your agency have a lot of that kind of work in the last
year? Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. Well, now, Mr. Burns, your agency must have had some firsts. You were the first to do this, that, and the other. Can you think of anything that you were first at?
Yes, we were the first agency to ever operate a dictograph.
Is that so?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We were also the first agency to transmit a radio photo across the Atlantic.
Is that so?
To England.
That's enough. Those are two darn good points right there. Let me see if I can get rid of another couple of dollars here. Tell you what I'll do. I'll start off with $4. If you, I'm going to give you some clues here, and if you get the first clue, why, you get $4. If you don't, you go on to the next one, and it'll be $3 and so on, see?
Yeah.
Now listen carefully. It is a bird, and its colors are red, white, and blue. For $4, what is that bird?
I'd say that was a woodpecker.
Oh, that's $4. Yeah, you are. Wait, I'll pay you this a minute. There's one more set of clues. It's something that I unhesitatingly recommend to my friends. It's something that I hope every man listening will get a tin of this week. What is it?
I would say that's Kentucky 12.
Yes, sir. Your tin, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Burns. All right, Wallace. Oh, wait a minute. Come back here. What's your answer on that running question? How many cigarettes? Give me some figure. Right quick. Name something. Right quick.
Oh, I'd say 100.
100 for Mr. Burns. Put it down. Okay. All right, Wally. Okay, Parks. Will you step right up here, sir? And tell us, first of all, your name.
George Brown.
Mr. Brown, what department of the Burns Detective Agency are you in?
Bank Messenger Division.
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I want you to take your guess as to the yearly current per capita consumption of cigarettes in this country.
The yearly?
Consumption per person. How many cigarettes does the average guy smoke a year?
Well, I'd estimate about 3,000.
3,000? Put that down, please, for Mr. Brown. Now, Mr. Brown, for a $1 bill. There are two types of artists. One is a very honest artist, and the other is a very dishonest artist. And they're both very adept and expert at extracting articles from clothing. What are they?
Better keep my hand in my pocketbook to start with, I guess. Well, a pickpocket is one.
He's the dishonest one. Now, who's the honest guy?
Any magicians here?
Hey, magicians. That's very good. Very good. The lady said a dry cleaner, but that didn't fit. Take the dollar. That's your dollar bill.
Can I give this to Red Cross?
You certainly may.
Will you do that?
I want you to do it.
All right.
Where did you get some more? Now, what officer who is elected to office has the power of making arrests? He's elected by the people.
Not appointed.
Not appointed.
Sheriff.
Sheriff is right. He has the authority to make an arrest. You're doing pretty well here. Now, you say that you're in the, what is this division you're
Bank
in?
Bank Messenger Division.
You're in charge of the armored cars, I take it, huh?
Well, we don't use an armored car.
You don't?
No, sir.
Well, how do you deliver money to a bank?
Well, this is a new operation, and the only type of its kind in the United States. And we deliver money and securities and valuables with...
Without an armored car and a machine gun, I'm going to look for you someone
these
days. Well, tell us.
No, you won't look for it.
I won't?
No.
Well, I won't.
I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
Our men are armed and equipped with a trace alarm messenger bag.
What's that?
Well, that's a very intense alarm equipment that hundreds of banks and others have been successfully using for years, and the Burns Detective Agency have adapted it to a messenger service.
Well, now tell us a little more how it works, actually. What to do? Does it sound an alarm or what?
This equipment is taken from a messenger. It sets up an audible alarm and creates a situation that hold-up men can't cope with.
What is that, for example?
Well, to start with, it'll discharge heavy reports, like a .45 caliber gun.
Start shooting at you, the bag then? Go right ahead.
It virtually explodes in the hands of a crook.
Yeah.
To the extent that in actual hold-up experience, they've dropped the bags and fled. They can't stay with it.
They can't?
No. Yet no harm will come to the contents.
Well, my goodness.
And under messenger deliveries of that type, the insurance companies prefer it
because of
its continuous protection.
In place of the armored car, for
to other methods of delivery. And that service is now available to the public in New York and will later be available in other cities in the United States.
That's very good.
I
don't want to have anything to do with you. You handle this exclusively.
Yes, sir.
Any bags that start shooting at me, I don't mind a cop once in a while, but that's too much.
Now, of course, our men are armed and equipped just for the adequate protection of guards wherever necessary are added to the bag protection. So it's a very comprehensive method of transporting money and a very economical one.
Okay, Arnold, just a moment. We've heard that before.
All right.
Now, Mr. Brown, do you believe in the old adage of set a thief to catch a thief?
No.
Well, you don't say it very definitely. I mean, do you think Mr. Burns has hired a lot of thieves here to go out and catch thieves?
No. Huh? No, but I think a thief would have an awful tough proposition as proven by experience with one of these bags.
Oh, all right. Now, for just one, I want to give you a chance to make another dollar here. What kind of a pipe did Sherlock Holmes smoke?
What type of pipe?
Well, he smoked a corn cob.
He did not. He smoked a meerschaum. And the reason he solved so many successful cases was because he used Kentucky Club in it. And there's a tin for you. Thank you very much. All right, Frank.
You know, yesterday afternoon, Wally, I was standing in front of a tobacco store looking in the window at a grand display of pipes. A young fellow standing next to me, he said, every time I see a display like that, I have an urge to go in and buy a pipe. But I'll be doggoned if I've been able to find a tobacco that I can smoke in the pipe after I get it. So I introduced myself, and I got him a tin of Kentucky Club tobacco. And by golly, he bought himself a pipe right then and there, and he tried it. I told him if he didn't enjoy it, I'd pay for the pipe myself. No cost to him. Well, he filled the pipe, he lighted it up, and took five or six long puffs before he said a word. Then he looked over at me and he grinned and he said, Parks, you win. That's the first tobacco I ever found that really had a light flavor. Now there you have it. Kentucky Club is light and mild. It can't help but be, since every bit of the tobacco in the blend is mild, white, burly. That's why thousands of men are smoking pipes today who never could smoke them before. Today, any man can enjoy a pipe. Be sure to insist on good old Kentucky Club. The burl is white, so it can't bite.
Every tin and every big humidor canister of Kentucky Club contains dividends to help you get your fine Willoughby Taylor pipe, made of genuine imported briar with a single-unit filter, cooler, and reamer. Vox Pop, you know, is the voice of the people. Kentucky Club is the choice of the people. Okay, Parks.
Yes, sir. You know, last week we thought we were going to have to interview all these gentlemen by numbers, but we finally prevailed on the bosses to let them call them by name. So, your name?
My name is H.A. Crow.
Mr. Crow, we're the Burns Agency. What department?
I manage the criminal division.
Criminal division?
Yes.
Well, I'll try to get by you. Give me your guess as to the per capita consumption of cigarettes in the U.S.
Oh, my guess would be 150 billion.
Per capita, not total consumption.
Per capita?
Yeah.
Oh.
How many is that for each of the 130 million
3,600.
3,600 for Mr. Crow. Mr. Crow, criminal division, eh?
Well.
Did you ever do any stealing yourself?
Oh, yes. I used to steal a little sugar from my mama.
Yeah, and all like that. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a dollar right now if you'll mention three things that you can steal and not be punished for it. Perfectly all right.
Well,
come on, three for a dollar.
I say you can steal a nap, you can steal time off of your boss to go to pick the
What
show.
Is that question? Stealing a nap,
steal a
oh
nap.
Yeah, steal a nap.
Sleep, you know.
Steal time off from the boss?
Yeah, to go to picture show.
Yeah, the boss right out here.
It has been done.
All right, go ahead.
And, how many do I have to have?
That's two. You gotta get another one. Did you think of another one right quick?
Oh, you got me a little confused here.
Wally gave you that. You heard that. Steal a kiss, but that's all right. that was the most obvious one. I'm surprised. You're married, I take it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you. Here's another dollar if you'll tell me what it is that a fireman eats. I get this. A fireman eats it. It gets in your eyes. And Joe Wood and Walter Johnson had plenty of it. For a dollar. What is it?
I think you got me there. I don't know.
Now listen
Joe
again.
Walter Johnson.
Joe Wood and Walter Johnson were speedball pitchers. Baseball pitchers, don't you know? Fast pitchers.
Smoke
is right. By George. Hey, every baseball fan in the crowd got that. A long time ahead. I'll tell you, just another dollar. If you tell me one way from, in which you can tell. Now here's a finger on my hand. One, I'll take a finger off all by itself. You can't see my hand. You can just see the finger. See?
Yes.
Tell me one way in which you could tell to which hand that belonged, right or left. You know? Any idea?
Only by fingerprints.
Only by fingerprints, huh? Well, they tell me that the hair on your finger grows toward the little finger. That's one way you can tell it. Let's get on to the criminal department for just a minute. What are the various things that are handled in the criminal department?
Well, I handle a lot of things in the criminal department. I handle all investigations. I supervise all investigations for the American Bankers Association. Also for the American Hotel Association.
Yeah. You keep a rogues gallery around your place?
Oh, yes. We have more than 18,000 photographs on file.
Mm-hmm. You know many of them yourself? I mean,
quite a few.
Well, the boss of the department ought to know, oughtn't he? How about, do you check up on forgeries?
Now, we handle all forgeries committed against member banks, members of the American Bankers Association.
Is it true that you also have a file of handwriting?
Oh, yes,
samples?
We have more than 60,000 different specimens of handwriting of forgers and checkmen of all classes.
That's a pretty hard thing to check those fellows. They tell me they hop around pretty fast, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do, but we carry a modus operandi file, and we can tell by a man's method of operation practically who he is. Then we find his writing in our files and identify him.
I bet you can almost tell which train he's going to catch next and which way he's going.
Well, a lot of times we catch him on the train, pull him off.
Tell me this, are fingerprints of identical twins, are those fingerprints identical, would you say?
No, not only of twins, but there's no identical fingerprints of two different people.
Is there anywhere in the world that I can destroy my fingerprints?
Sure, you can cut your fingers off and throw them in the water. That's the only way.
Outside of that, I wouldn't have a chance, would I?
No, sir.
All right, for a quick set of clues here, $4 for the first one. This fellow is a character in fiction, see? He once broke up a band of thieves, and he had a slave girl named Morgiana. $4 if you get it up to that point. Got it?
I can't...
All right, let's get another. He discovered a cave where the robbers kept their loot. He got in and took the treasure away. Any inkling yet?
I do not read detective fiction.
This isn't detective fiction. This is old, good old stuff. Now, the robbers hid in large jars in this guy's courtyard, you see. But Morgiana, the slave girl, poured hot oil on them, don't you see, and killed them all. And the way the guy got in the cave, he said, "Open sesame." You know who he was?
No, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you who that guy was. That was Alibaba. Now, one thing more. What do you deduce from these three words? And it's worth $1 to me if you can deduce it. A man, a match, and a pipe.
Need some smoking tobacco.
Yes, sir. That's worth $1. Here's your dollar, and I'll furnish the smoking tobacco. You'll send a good old Kentucky club. Thank you very much, Mr. Crow. All right, Wally. Thank you, Clark. Well, now, here comes another Mr. Burns. Mr. Sherman Burns, and what are you, Vice President?
I'm Secretary and Treasurer.
Secretary and Treasurer. Nice indeed to be with you, sir. Take your guess, first of all, as to what is the current yearly per capita consumption of cigarettes in the country.
Well, I guess my guess would be as good as any other, about 1,200.
1,200. All right, maybe pretty good guess. I wouldn't know. You know, Mr. Burns, your father was a very eminent man. William J. Burns, as the head of the Department of Justice, wasn't he?
That's right.
This is not worth a dollar because I think you know, but I think the folks listening would like to know. For no dollar, what was the name of his assistant?
Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover was Mr. Burns' assistant.
That's right.
Now, for $1, what have snowflakes and fingerprints in common?
No two alike.
No two alike, and you win the dollar. That is absolutely right, sir. By the way, how do you feel about this fingerprinting of aliens, this new law?
Well, I think it's a very good thing. I think that everybody should be fingerprinted, as a matter of fact.
For their own safety.
For their own safety.
I think so, too. I agree with you, and I think many folks listening will. Now, how many men and women operatives have you in your agency, Mr. Burns?
Oh, we wouldn't mention that, sir. We wouldn't disclose anything like that.
You don't?
No.
Big, deep, dark...
That's a big, deep, dark secret.
In other words, you can't ever tell when one's in back of you.
That's right.
What is the most important phase of your business?
The most important phase?
Yes.
Well, our business is general, and the best way to answer that, I guess, is to give you the various departments.
Well, tell me what you do, the various departments.
Yes. Well, I imagine that the most work we do is in a general way. That's general investigations for all insurance companies, railroads, and so on.
Do you hunt missing persons?
Oh, yes.
You do.
That's a good part of our business.
You find them, huh?
Most times.
Most times you do.
Mm-hmm. Once in a while, we slip.
Where do you recruit your operatives from?
That's something I won't tell you.
You won't tell us that?
No.
Either.
No.
Gee, weird. Do you train them?
Oh, yes. We train them ourselves.
How do you cooperate with police departments?
Well, we cooperate 100%. We always get good service out of them, and they're always willing to cooperate with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, for a dollar, what fictional detective comes from the Hawaiian Islands?
Charlie Chan.
Charlie Chan is right. Here's a dollar. What radio program deals altogether with law enforcement? Modern law enforcement.
Well, now my son follows a radio program more than I do.
Really?
Answer that question.
Is this the fourth
generation
in
the business?
Well, Jack, stand up here and tell us. What college do you go to?
Stanford University.
Uh-huh. Well, you ought to know that now if you listen to the radio. What is it? For a dollar.
Gangbusters.
Well, get out of here and take the dollar. Of course, that's right. Well, now I'll tell you what we do on this program, Mr. Burns.
We specialize in the enforcement of smoking comfort. And the best way I know to get them is with a Miss Cool Julep cigarette. A package for you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Come in, Park.
Yes, sir, Wally. You know, this spotlight business we started all over again last week sort of clicked. And tonight, our spot in the spotlight is a freak of nature that still puzzles scientists. 4 miles east of Clouder's Port, down in Pennsylvania, is an ice mine in a cave in a hill. Now, here's the freakish thing about it. Huge icicles, 10, 15, and 20 feet long, are formed in this ice mine in the summertime. But in the wintertime, it all melts. Yes, sir, the temperature is right chilly down in Clouder's Port, Pennsylvania, in the summertime. Now, that ice mine, really, you have ice in the summer, and it melts in the wintertime. I think that's quite a little spot. And by the way, if you know of something in your own community that's odd, unusual, or interesting, and if you should happen to send it to us, and if we should just happen to use it, why, we'd sort of expect to express our appreciation, you know. It isn't a contest, but just send it along to Vox Pop, yeah, CBS, in New York. Now we have Mr. H.E. Corley. Is that right, Mr. Corley?
Correct.
What's your department?
The Uniform Patrol and Guard Department.
I see. Your guess right quick is for a Catholic consumption of cigarettes.
Well, if the average cigarette smoker smokes as many dual cigarettes as I do every day, I'd say 7,600 a year.
Attaboy. Okay. Now tell me, Mr. Corley, if a pickpocket picks a pocket that's empty, is he guilty of picking a pocket?
He is guilty of the attempt.
Well, I guess that's about right. Now for a dollar, tell me 3 things that you can pick that will get you into trouble.
Well, you can pick a pocket, you can pick a lock,
yeah,
or you can pick another fellow's girl.
There's your dollar. Yeah, that probably would. Now, for another dollar, who was a public enemy? He operated in the Southwest and the Midwest, and he had a girlfriend who smoked cigars.
Oh, you mean Babyface Nelson?
Was that Nelson or Dillinger?
Dillinger, sir.
You don't get a dollar. That doesn't come in your department, though, does it, Mr.? Huh? That doesn't come to your... All right, now, 3 of our presidents were assassinated, see? You tell me 2 of the assassins. You get another dollar.
Gonzalez or Gonzalez, he killed McKinley.
No, you're talking about Zalgars.
Zalgars
like
killed,
yeah,
McKinley, and
right.
Booth assassinated Lincoln.
That's right. Here's your dollar. Now, talking about your department, could I get a job in your department, sir?
Well, if you have a high school education, you're not more than 35 years of age, and you'll have a good...
Oh,
clean...
Wait a minute. The age limit got me. What are some of the interesting things your boys have guarded?
Well, the most interesting things that I can think of right now is the $13 million Italian collection of art that's displayed here in New York for a number of months.
Yeah.
The insurance company, before they'd covered it with insurance, insisted that the burns, guards be placed.
And you didn't lose a thing out there?
Not a thing. We never do.
What's an unusual... Attaboy. What's an unusual request that you might get for the guard stuff?
Nothing would be unusual in the guard department.
But I mean, you really get odd requests?
Very strange ones.
Drinking.
Sometimes we're asked to escort a child, a sick child, from a hospital to its home.
Things like that, huh?
Yes, which necessitates a railroad journey.
Uh-huh. Now, here's another set of clues, and this worth a dollar, too. What is it that's mild and smooth, it won't bite, and the ladies really love its aroma?
Why, of course, Kentucky Club.
Attaboy, attaboy, your dollar in the good old Kentucky Club. Thank you very much. Why, how about it? At this point, Sparks, I rise to advise the meeting... How come you'll get more enjoyment and better enjoyment out of Mint Cool Julep cigarettes? Now look, you can smoke 20, 30, 40, as many as you like, and still keep your mouth and throat feeling fresh, clean, cool, and comfortable. Jolly the way ordinary smokes used to dry out my mouth and throat and bring on that cough, many's the time I'd say, well, I've got to cut down on my cigarette smoking. Sound familiar to you, does it? Well, do as I did, and change to Julep. You give your throat a permanent vacation when you switch to Mint Cool Julep cigarettes. Every day's a holiday, thanks to Mint. Yes, sir, it's the Mint that does it. You see, Mint is cool, clean, and fresh. So naturally, that touch of Mint in Julep is just the thing you need to help keep your mouth and throat feeling cool, clean, and fresh. Get a couple of packs of Mint Cool Julep, and you'll see in a flash, or rather in a puff, why physicians, nurses, and dentists were among the first to discover Julep. Julep cigarettes have the soundest cigarette idea in existence today.
And now if you'll ask Mr. Bent to step up here, Park.
And while he's stepping up, let me say that was $5 of his girlfriend smoked a cigar, wasn't it, John? Or the other guy?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Come in, Mr. Bennett, now, and tell us your department in the Burns Agency.
I handle the market research department.
What's that got to do with the detective agency?
Well, business likes evidence now. They employ us because we can get the evidence.
Well, tell me how it works.
Well, we go out and ask housewives questions of what they buy and why they buy them, and we ask men what kind of tires they like, what automobiles they drive, what cigars they smoke, and cigarettes, tobacco.
I see. You could find out how many juleps people are liking to buy.
We could do that, I think. And if we did, and found out that he sold more on this program, might get you raised.
Well, that'd be swell. I'm in favor of that. Now, Mr. Bennett, take your guess as to the yearly per capita consumption of cigarettes in the country.
I'll say 4,000.
4,000. Okay, put that down. Now for a dollar, name me three crooks of fiction.
Crooks
of fiction. Three bird-headed big crooks in fiction.
Wallingford. What is that fellow?
Get Rich Quick Wallingford?
Get Rich Quick Wallingford.
Okay, go ahead.
Wasn't Oliver Twist?
Oh, blow me down, he would. Who else? One more.
One more? Oh, Robin Hood.
Okay, we'll call Robin Hood a crook. He crooked and then he gave it back again. You certainly get the dollar.
Get it back again?
No, sir. I say he used to steal it and then he gave it back, you see, to the poor. Now, 2 out of 3 on this. What famous jail is suggested by a graveyard? The local jail.
The Tombs.
The Tombs, of course. What one by a big rock?
Alcatraz.
That's right. And what one by Pigeon English?
Pigeon what?
Chinese Pigeon English.
Sing Sing.
Sing Sing. Here's the dollar. Thank you very much, sir. You're doing pretty well, aren't you? Now, better look out for this one, though. They tell me that there's only one sport which is barred at Sing Sing. I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me what it is.
One sport is barred at Sing Sing.
It's a marathon.
Gambling.
Oh, well, no, that's not a sport.
Oh, that's...
Well, I mean, no, not a Sing Sing. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's pole vaulting. Now, do you think there'd be any special reason for this?
I do. That?
What part of the body is used in describing the power of the law?
Power of the law?
Yes, sir.
Strong arm.
The strong arm of the... Mr. Bennett, do you think it's possible to tell a crook by looking at him?
Scientists tell us. I happen to know a man, Ernest Hoover of Harvard.
Yes.
Says there is no criminal type. That lets you and me out.
That lets me out. All right. Now, in what prison were the following characters thrown? If you get one of two of this, you get a dollar. Charles First.
Charles First was... Whitehall.
Right. There's the dollar. Now, what is the strongest prison known to man? Last question.
Strongest prison known to man.
Well, it's a woman's arm. Don't worry. Thank you very much, Mr. Bennett. And, Park, who won that $5?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but first let me talk about next week. Friends, next Thursday, Vox Pop is going to crash a party to be given by three famous personalities. The one and only Helen Hayes, the famous playwright, S.N. Berman, and the equally famous theatrical producer, Gilbert Miller. If you want to meet the who's who of the theater and Broadway, be sure to be with us at this outstanding event. The party will be held on the stage of the Henry Miller Theater in New York City and is being given to wish bon voyage to the new Greater Stage magazine, which will be on the newsstands in a few weeks. We look forward to a lively time that week with maybe Al Jolson, Martha Ray Olson, and Johnson and others. Now, let's see who won. Sherman Burns is the winner with an estimate of $1,200. The correct answer is $1,314. Hope you can be with us next Thursday, you know, for that big theater party. And meanwhile, pipe lovers, smoke Kentucky Club. Cigarette smokers, enjoy your mid-cool julep. Good night and happy smoking.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.